another week of opportunity to study and fellowship. As I continue to study through this, it gets to be so large you don't know which way to go hardly. But I still think that we see an example here as the nation of Israel has just crossed over Jordan into the promised land, and they are facing Jericho. And those things that took place there around Jericho, I think we can see a lot of examples here with Jericho and then where we are headed in the world that we live in today. So I will just make a few comparisons as we go along, and maybe a little bit deeper than we have been. And you know, it's amazing. Would you believe I saw something I hadn't seen before? God's words, it never ceases to amaze me what we read over. Just reading too fast. Or it's not time for the Lord to show it to us. And then the next time we read it, all of a sudden, there it is. So, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to begin in Joshua, as we study together today. And we talked about Rahab last Sunday, and we'll get back into that somewhat. But it's just one particular scripture that I had read and kind of looked over it somewhat. So. But anyway, bow with us in a word of prayer, and then we'll look at this together. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another opportunity to open your precious word. And Lord, as we open your precious word today, if we learn anything, gain any knowledge, feel your presence in any way or means, it will not be because of the one speaking. It will be because of you and your speaking to us through the precious Holy Spirit that you have given us to live within, to make us conscious of a God that loved us and a God that gave his Son for us, that through his sacrifice we might be in a position to be forgiven for our sins and drawn into a relationship with you, and then therein receive the Holy Spirit, that it might teach us and help us to understand you more and your works more. And we ask this morning, Lord, that you'd guide us as we read and study your precious word. Lord, I thank you for each one who's present and each one who's listening. And I'd ask that you would bless and encourage and strengthen and give us knowledge more today than we had yesterday. And bless this gathering today. And may you be exalted as we are humble before you with thankful hearts. We do pray. Amen. Joshua. They're going to do it. Somebody always got to look after you. Appreciate these boys that run the sound. We're going to Joshua chapter number 5. Now, where we are in chapter number 5, we find that the nation of Israel are fixing to begin their trips around Jericho. Now, when you go around Jericho, you know, you're talking about maybe an hour. Jericho is not a tremendous city. not a tremendous ways around it. But when you're dealing with as many people as it was, the nation of Israel was made up of, and the way they did it, it'd take a while to march around. And we know that it's going to do it one time for 6 days, and then we're going to do it seven times on the seventh day. And if you notice, it said he got up early on the seventh day and began. But before they began to go into the process of marching around Jericho, something happens in the fifth chapter. We look at the latter part of the fifth chapter, and I want you to look at verse number 13. Now, what I want to do this morning is see if we can find those things here in Joshua this early in God's Word that point all the way to the book of Revelations. So let's see what we can see today as we study. Joshua 5th chapter, verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. So all of a sudden, Joshua sees something that a little bit unusual. What does he see? He sees a man, and he sees a man standing before him with his sword drawn. Now, when you draw your sword, what are you fixing to do? I mean, something fixing to take place. He has taken it out, and it's drawn. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, I want you to pay close attention to what the man that Joshua has seen has to say. He said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord." Now, who is he? Now, all I know to tell you is that he tells me in God's Word that he's captain of the host of the Lord. Am I now come, as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Now that's a little bit unusual. And it closes. You will not find this man that, at least I can't, that Joshua has seen mentioned anymore. It's like Moses in the burning bush when God told him, he says, "Take your shoes off, which you stand in this holy ground." Now, they have crossed Jordan, and they're in what? They're in the promised land, and that's holy ground to God. So this is the holy ground that he referenced to that Joshua is standing on. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to look at a few verses, and we're going to start here. We're going all the way. Yes, well, go go to Revelation, because we're going to be back and forth. So you better put your finger in Joshua and put your finger in Revelation so we can flip back and forth. But I'm going to read one verse to you on the way. And I want you to listen to this in the little book of Amos. In chapter number 9 and verse number 15. God's talking about the nation of Israel and restoring the kingdom. You listen to what he says. He said, well, I will plant them upon their land. What land? The promised land that he's promised them. He says, I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So, what do we see to the nation of Israel? God has promised them Canaan's land, so to speak, the promised land. He has promised them that he would rule and reign over them. He would be their king, their king of kings and lord of lords. And that's still in the future. See, our events are this. We're now in the dispensation of grace. And this dispensation of grace will close at the rapture or the next step will be the rapture of the church. And then, after the rapture of the church, we go to the tribulation period. And then what follows the tribulation period? The millennial reign of Christ. The 1,000 years millennial reign of Christ, when Christ comes back to this earth and sets up a kingdom and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. And what is that millennial reign for? That millennial reign is only for the Jews and a promise that God has given them. That they would have a promised land, that they would have a king that would reign here on this earth with them. And what we're seeing as we look through this, I want you to keep the sequence of event in mind. Rapture, tribulation, millennial. So keep those thoughts in mind. In Revelation, in chapter number 1, read a few things to you here. Now, I have not forgotten the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and New Testament. We're down now to the nation of Israel. The covenant is like the Ark of the Covenant is like their Holy Spirit. They are following it. Now, in Revelation chapter number 1, and begin to read a few verses there. If you will, look at verse number 10. Now, we know that this is John on the Isle of Patmos, and this is that God gave him. Verse number 1 said, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And notice the word in here, which God gave to him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, Christ, to show to his servant, and his servant is John. And he says that it was signified by the angel to his servant John, and John bare record. Now, in number 10, we're looking at John, it's verse number 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now, another thing that I want you to watch for is these expressions that's made, like the trumpet and voices, those things such as that. He said, I heard, and it was a great voice, and it was like a trumpet. Okay? Now remember that in Joshua we read that there was a man standing with his sword drawn, ready for battle. Okay? Keep that thought in mind now. In verse number 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto what? The Son of Man. One like unto the Son of Man. What did Joshua see? He saw a man with a sword drawn. Who was that man? He said, I'm captain of the Lord's army. And here we see a man with a sword drawn. It says he's clothed in the garment down to the foot and girdled about with paps and golden girdle. Now, verse number 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a what? Sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. So here we have a conversation. The man that was standing before Joshua, he said, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. And here we have a man. Who is this man? This man we know is Christ himself. And he said he's got his sword drawn, or proceeding out of his mouth, so to speak. And he said, when I fall, man, I fell at his feet as dead. I mean, he's just overpowering. If you notice, his countenance shining like the sun, shining in its strength, in its brightest time. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and I'm the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And does he have the authority? And then he said, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And then he began to express it. Now, look over in Revelation chapter number 19. Let's see if we can find him again. In chapter number 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and Truth. And in righteousness he doth judge and what? Now I want you to notice some words in this particular verse. He is called Faithful and True. Okay? Then he said, and in righteousness. Whatever he's going to do is deserving of whoever he does it to. And it says, in righteousness, he doth do what? He doth judge, number one. His judgments are righteous. His judgments are truth. And he says, in the process of making my judgments, I am going to make war. War is going to be a part of my judgment. And of course, we see that in the book of Revelations, where it is a part of his judgment. Now, in verse number 15, and out of his mouth goeth what? A sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's the sword again. The sword, the spoken word of God. God speaks it and it happens. Christ speaks it and it's done. Now, we're fixing, if we go back and look in the book of Joshua, what we see that's fixing to take place is that Jericho is fixing to be dealt with. Now, when we read about that man in the first chapter of the book of Revelations, that man's fixing to deal with the world. That one being Christ. Now, you'll not see this man mentioned any more than I can find in the book of Joshua. But I think what we see here is a representation of Christ and the judgments that's fixing to take place. Now, with Jericho, yes, Jericho is in the promised land. But when we look at the judgment of God and we look at the tribulation period and what's going to take place, the heart or the center of God's activity is going to begin in Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. But that judgment is not just in the nation of Israel. That judgment is a judgment of the whole universe and the whole world. But the focal point of it is, when we look at the book of Revelation, the focal point of it comes out from the nation of Israel and around Jerusalem. But it affects the whole world. And here we've got Jericho that's in the promised land. But what happens to Jericho is like the effect that's going to take place on the whole world. But the key is that it starts in the promised land with God's judgment on the human race. Keep those thoughts in mind. Now, let's go back to Joshua again. And let's look at what it says concerning the nation of Israel. Chapter number 6. And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hands Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, who is not going to be dealt with during this siege of Jericho? He said, there's nobody that's going to escape. I have given you Jericho. I've given you all the king, everything that's in authority, and all the mighty men. He said, I'll give you the whole nine yards, so to speak. And God and Christ in the tribulation period are going to deal with the whole nine yards of the world. The whole thing is going to be covered under his judgment. He has just pronounced judgment on Jericho. And that's like pronouncing judgment on the world. He says, ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Of what? Men of war. We're talking about judgment. We're talking about war. He says, all ye men of war, go around about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. Numbers have a lot to do with in God's word, and the number of man is what? Six. Now we've got something else that we're going to look at here. As we look at Numbers. But let me read on through this, and then we'll come back and begin to kind of break this thing down a little bit. He says, you're going to take seven priests. The number seven in God's word is completeness, fulfilledness. In other words, it's finished. So it says, you're going to take seven priests and shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram. So you got seven priests and you got seven trumpets. And here's the ark again. That thing that the nation of Israel holds so dear, right on the Ark of the Covenant. And something last night came to my mind as I was studying and looking at the ark in the tabernacle, and then look at the temple and where the Ark of the Covenant was in the temple. And I might do a study one day and follow the ark from the time God had it made to where it's at today. But that's, my mind been boggled with all this anyway. So. But he got your seven priests and your seven trumpets. And you remember that completeness of fulfillment. And his seven of ram horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow, and the trumpet shall blow with the trumpets. Now you look at the sevens in that. Seven, seven, seven. Just book of the sevens. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat down, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn, passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. I want you look at your sequence in this. You got your seven priests and your seven trumpets, and they're passing on before the Lord, and they're blowing them, and they got the ark of the covenant. But it said the armed men went before the priests and blew with the trumpets, and the rewarders came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpet. And And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voices, neither shout any words proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning and took, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rewarders came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, and this they did 6 days. So now for 6 days, they're going to go around once a day. Now, if you notice, your men are going before, and God's got a sequence that it goes in. Now, you look at the sevens in this. I want to go back to Revelation for just a moment and look at a few things in the book of Revelation. What's next on the agenda for you and I and for this world? We know it's going to be the rapture. That's next on the agenda. When the rapture takes place, then what's next? Look with me in Revelations, and I want to go to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation now. Now, in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelations, we have a summary, so to speak, of what's going to happen during the tribulation, your 7 years of tribulation. And in chapter number 5 and verse number 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." Now this is the title deed to the world. Christ bought the world at Calvary. It's his. He has not yet called for ownership, so to speak. Okay? But here's that book that he's got in his hand. And he said, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." Now we've got a book and we got it sealed with seven seals. And when those seals on that book are opened, something's going to take place on this earth or in the heavens that affect this earth. Notice that seven. We're in that completeness number again. Verse number 5. Now, the question has been, there's no man in heaven or in earth that's worthy to open those seals. And Paul was in tears because of it. And in verse number 5, "And one of the elders said, and weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereon." Notice, to do what? To open the book and loose the seven seals. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the of the elders stood what? A lamb. Who's that lamb? This is Jesus. So now who's worthy? As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now he's fixing to deal with it. And now God's granted him the title deed to the world. And it's time for him to begin to deal with that title deed. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to do what? To take the book. Thou art worthy to take the book. And to do what? And to open the seals thereof. For thou wast what? Why is he worthy? He's worthy because of what we're fixing to read now. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. That's why he's worthy, because he was slain for the world. And has made us unto our gods, what? Kings and priests. And notice this statement. And we shall reign with him. What does that say? We shall reign on the earth. That's a very important statement in that verse. Because that means that you and I, one day, will reign with our Lord and Savior, Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in His kingdom, and we will reign with Him on this earth. We're going to be with Him in heaven, and we're going to reign with Him in heaven, but there's going to be a time when we will reign with Him on this earth. Keep that thought in mind. Flip the page. Chapter number 6. And verse number 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now, who's opening the seals? See, Jesus is the one that's opening the seals. Every time that a seal is opened, something happens, and they're all going to be opened. In God's Word, we have got a complex situation. Because you're going to find that here, as he opens the seals, he will begin to call somebody in assistance with those seals. And look at verse number 7. And after these things, I saw four angels. Now, you're going to find that he calls the angels to begin to perform those things that's going to take place during the breaking of those seals. He's going to break them. He's going to declare the judgment. The angels are going to be helping him fulfill those things. But there's something that I want you to notice that's going to take place. The rapture of the church has already taken place. Back up with me to chapter number 4 for just a moment. John had just declared to the seven churches those things that God revealed to him in chapter number 1. And he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Who's our doorway to heaven? If we look over in the book of Thessalonians, it tells us about the rapture. Trumpets shall sound. Dead in Christ shall rise. So here we have the door, and the door of Christ is open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were a what? A trumpet. Good gracious, it's already time for me to stop. I just got started. We're going to hold right there. You won't be able to remember what we talked about today, next Sunday. I think it's important that we see something here. There's so many things in Joshua's conquest of Jericho that remind us of the tribulation period and those things that take place there. God bless you, and thank you for listening today.